You're listening to The Warehouse, a Speaking Of show by WFSU. Opening Nights at Florida State University began in 1999 and has been presenting artists to the community with an annual series of performances that occur from fall to the spring ever since. The organization is currently headed by Executive Director Kevin Maynard, who has recently taken charge and is stopping by for a discussion with Josh Johnson on his background and goals for the organization.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in again for another episode of Speaking Of. I'm Josh Johnson, and today we are joined by a very special guest, special for a lot of reasons, but special to us in particular because we are going to introduce him to you all. We are joined with Kevin Maynard, the new executive director of Opening Nights. Hey, Kevin, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Josh.
So, Kevin, let's just jump right into it. First of all, welcome to our city and now your city. We really appreciate you being here. We're looking forward to the things that you're going to do. We're also looking forward to this conversation. So let's just dive right in. Where do you join us from?
So I moved to Tallahassee from Rock Island, Illinois, which is part of an area they call the Quad Cities region, which is actually more than five cities now.
So here's the thing. Quad means four,
yes.
And it was originally five, and now it's even more than five.
Yeah, it sort of just keeps growing, and they keep adding things in. But it splits the border between Iowa and Illinois, and I used to work at an organization called Quad City Arts. And so we programmed on both sides of the river, and so we're programming in both states, six counties, and we primarily were putting artists into public schools, performing artists, national, international touring artists. So very similar to some of the things that we're bringing to Opening Nights, but we were specifically putting them into the public schools. So the big difference there is I didn't have to worry about selling tickets.
Sure.
So a little bit different style of programming. But we were also doing visual arts, both with a couple galleries and, we did a sculpture program and murals and community events. So, I mean, we really always told people if there was a connection to the arts, like we were doing something in that realm.
This is... So you come as a fisherman with a net,
yeah,
and not a pole. You were doing so much, which is going to really, I would imagine, serve you well with Opening Nights because it's such a diverse population, or at least you can be available to your own imagination about what types of art and culture you engage with the institution, obviously FSU. Do you have any ideas yet, or are you still percolating and getting used to the bells and whistles?
I think it's both of those things. So we are in the midst of programming the 25-26 season, mm-hmm, and which is very exciting. So when I started here at Opening Nights, there was, I think, one, maybe two shows booked for the following season. So, I mean, really like a blank slate, which is both exciting and daunting moving into a new community where you're trying to, like, learn what people's tastes are. But, you know, you look back at the history, see what's been doing well and what they've brought in the past. So you get a quick flavor of what's working. And then, you know, I get to look at that and go, okay, so these are the type of things that work. Now, what can we slot in that maybe people haven't seen yet, or that maybe we know that they'll like it because this show did well? And so it's really just trying to figure out, like, how to best reach the entire community.
You know, in that last answer, you said a word that I love, which is daunting. And so I want to add to your daunt.
Yeah.
You know, Opening Nights, Tallahassee really is a cultural destination, mm-hmm, for a lot of reasons, right? The two universities, just so many things. But Opening Nights is one of the things that just about everybody points to as being one of those things that kind of undergirds that reputation. And so you've got a lot of responsibility on your shoulder. You're carrying a lot of memories and future memories with you. Does that responsibility excite you? Does it scare you into action? Or is it something that you're used to from your breadth of knowledge and experience?
That's a great question. It excites me mostly.
Sure.
I will say that, yes, it does scare me like into action, like you said. I mean, because it forces you to sort of like take a holistic approach at the community and see, you know, the entire community as a whole and like what have we been seeing, what haven't we been seeing, and how do we bring all of that together? The challenging thing about Tallahassee and Opening Nights, mm-hmm, is there's, you know, there's two universities, there's a college. And so there is a very well-educated populace here. And so because of that, there's so much that's being brought to the community. And so for me, that's what I find exciting, because a lot of times when you're looking at programming for, you know, a theater or a single venue, you have to really look at, like, what's the commercial thing that's going to sell? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you look at your commercial acts, but here, because of the population, you can bring in some things that are a bit more cultural. You still need those commercial things because people still want to see those things. You want to, like, expose your community to those things, give them those opportunities. Mm-hmm. But it's exciting because you get to bring something that's a little bit different. So there's a few shows that we have already locked in for next season that I'm really excited about because it pushes things a little bit. There's a dance show that I'm excited to be able to announce because it is one of the most, like, stunning dance pieces I have ever seen.
Hey, look, fan of breaking news. Come on, give it to us. I'm just playing. Don't get yourself in trouble in the first couple of months. So let me ask you this. The question that I was going to ask, you keep giving me these beautiful segues because you used the term exposure in your last answer. One of the things that you've been credited for highly from Quad City, and it seems like just a part of your reputation at this point, is that in the several positions that you've been involved in, you've created more accessibility to the arts. It's something for me that's either a light spot or a tender spot, because I've always said that while art and culture are the foundations of education and experience, I believe that so often they're made exclusive for whatever reasons. What does this accessibility mean to you?
Oh, man, you're about to put me on my soapbox.
Come on, I need it.
So accessibility, I think, in the arts is paramount. Like, it is one of the biggest things because, you know, you touched on it. I mean, it has an impact in education. It has an impact in health and wellness. It has an impact in our economics, our community. Like, it impacts every aspect of our individual lives and our community as a whole. What I always tell people is that, you know, when we talk about education and the impact of the arts in education, those studies are done in low socioeconomic schools. And the reason that is because well-funded schools all have the arts integrated into it because they know the impact of the arts. And so what we are struggling with right now in the industry is this difficulty of how do we pay artists a living wage? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, to be able to travel and tour, and all those costs are rising, but then also somehow offer that at a ticket price, or at least have a group of tickets that is affordable to most people. The challenge is that, I mean, and this is going to be opening night's challenge for a few years. I think we've got some tactics that we're looking to, you know, help reduce those barriers. But the reality is that there are some shows that are too costly for us to bring in that will drive up those ticket prices. Sure. And so it's our job, I think, or my job, to figure out, like, how do we open up a section of those tickets that maybe are more affordable for not just the students, but the community as a whole? Or how do we supplement our season with something that, you know, you can bring a family of four to? Because it gets more and more challenging every year. And I will tell you, like, all the time that I think that the arts are incredibly important, because I do, like, honestly believe, like, the arts can save the world. Like, there is some incredible things that are happening and some incredible impacts that happen because of the arts. And so our job is to help provide that. So some of the things that we'll obviously do is, opening nights already has a great in-class program. That's going to be expanding. Like, you will see next season, and really in my second season, we will see that growth growing, because we believe that kids should have access to that our school system should be able to see that, whether that's in their classrooms or being able to take a bus to Ruby Diamond or wherever that venue may be. So I think that's going to be the big focus. And then we've got some tactics in the next few years to try to make sure that we're offering, again, not just students, but the community to prices that everybody can see a show at.
Absolutely. Just to latch on to that statement that you made about the arts can save the world, mm-hmm. not only are you correct, but the arts have saved the world time
Absolutely.
And time again.
Absolutely.
And so it's important, I believe, and I'm sure you feel the same way, that if you're going to engage in the arts, you do have to come equipped as a warrior.
Sometimes,
know?
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. As a matter of fact, you were one of the people responsible for, I know you wouldn't take all the credit, but a lot of the credit should lay at your feet for saving the Orpheum or making it sustainable, making it last, preserving the Orpheum.
Yeah.
What was that like?
You know, that is probably, I think, one of my greatest accomplishments. That was a labor of love. So the Orpheum Theater in Galesburg, Illinois is a 1916 vaudeville house. And I started just before it turned 100, and it was struggling both community-wide. It had, you know, people had sort of lost their faith in the institution, and it needed some love. Like, it needed some work. And so, you know, we did that. And I always think it's interesting because I was there for probably about 3 years, sort of, you know, trying to meet everybody and, you know, build this program. And so we did. And then, you know, we launched this capital campaign and we raised, you know, over $1 million in, I think, 4 months, maybe 3 months. Like, it went so quick. I was just shocked, like, in awe and just really humbled. But what the crazy thing was is that, like, it helped us reach, like, more of the community. People came out. And the other thing is that people were like, sort of thought that I just started there because, you know, but I was like, I've been here for 3 or 4 years now. Like, we've been working on this for a while. So, you know, it's just all of a sudden, like, people started taking notice because, you know, when you start building that track record, like, more agents start reaching out, you figure out how to bring bigger artists in, and people are like, oh, why is this in Galesburg? And, you know, it's like, well, we built the path to make this happen.
Sure.
And so that, honestly, like, it's an incredible experience to think back and to know that theater is still presenting today and still doing a lot of stuff when it was at an opportunity, at a time when it was getting close to maybe never doing that again.
You know, they say the arts are most valuable after they've died or while they're dying. And so I'm glad that you were able to rebut that old adage for the Orpheum Theater.
That's right.
And I'm really glad to have your type of personality leading opening nights, because you really do come equipped with all these skills that I really do think, and that I think we think will really be appropriate to guide it. Are you looking forward to anything in particular this season, or just want to talk about anything that we have coming up in the schedule?
Yeah, you know, I'd say there's a couple things. I mean, one, first, I'll start with something that's not on the schedule, is getting out and meeting people and, you know, going to events that aren't just opening nights. I always tell people, like, I love the arts. My wife loves the arts. So, you know, a lot of our free time is checking out other arts events. I mean, so we're slowly making that a habit here in Tallahassee and learning about more and more opportunities and really trying to figure out, like, where do I go to find this information? Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm excited about. And I would say that, you know, because, you know, I have a platform like this, sure, or other places, people see my face, they might recognize me out in public. I would encourage people to say hello. Like, I want to meet people. I want to talk to people. So don't feel like you're burdening me by coming over and introducing yourself, because I want to talk to people.
Folks at home, I want to put a pin in the conversation now, because he's right. If you see him out, you will recognize him. And it's because he has the most fantastic curled mustache that you've ever seen. And for anybody that knows me, they know that I've tried to curl this little measly mustache that I've got for years. And so now I'm put in the position where I'm having to look in a cleaner, better looking mirror, and it makes me sick. Let me ask you this. Being art adjacent, and when I say that, I don't say that as any insult, because that's what I've spent my life doing. I am not an artist. I am a facilitator of art. However, we have an opinion on these issues as well, maybe just as much. What is your definition of art? I love the deep breath and the sigh when people hear that question, because it's so big.
Yeah. Oh, man. I will actually harken back to my mentor, a guy by the name of Mike Music. He once said to me, art is anything that makes you feel something. He said, sometimes that feeling is rage. But I think about that and I'm like, you know, it really is. Like, it's things that make you feel, because I think that there's a lot of folks who are artists who don't think that they're artists. You know, one of the people I always think about are, like, people who work in marketing or doing graphic design. Like, in their mind, they're like, oh, I'm just, like, creating an ad. I'm like, no, that's art. Like, I can't do that. Like, that is not a skill that I have. you know, so it's almost like anything that is visual, anything that is design, like it encompasses so many things. And I have a love-hate relationship with quote-unquote modern art because I think that there's a lot of modern art that, like, I don't understand, or it's not given a platform to really explain what it is.
Sure.
Because sometimes, like, I think you see something really crazy and you're like, this is ridiculous. But then when the artist talks about the piece, you're like, oh, that's really well thought out. Like, I really like that. So I think that, you know, we just see some of these things that make, you know, for a nice, like, click story or something on social media, and you're like, this is why art's garbage. And you're like, no, like, this is just people trying to get you to look at this stuff. Like, there is also some really great stuff out there. So
absolutely.
It's, yeah, I will say, like, art is anything that makes you feel.
I'm glad you said that because I'm glad that you said rage, because that proves that your mustache is art, because it makes me feel rage.
Yeah, so
jealousy,
there you go.
So in closing, I'm gonna say that I went to school with a guy named Kevin, and I won't give his last name, but he used to walk around. I guess this was something that his mother told him, or he got out of his, you know, christening book. I'm not sure, but he used to say that his name meant beautiful champion in Irish, or it's one of the meanings for Kevin. It's beautiful champion. Brother, I think that Tallahassee has a beautiful champion in our new Kevin. We're looking forward to see everything that you do. Is there anything that you would like to say that we didn't touch on?
No, I think we hit everything today. I appreciate the time.
I think we hit everything, and we'll see you guys next time. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
We're now releasing these conversations as a podcast. Check out The Warehouse, available on all platforms.